get your earphones in, everybody, and everybody hear us out. We are Rob Uten and Brian Dennis, and this is PBOTN. We've got my dad leveling up your awesomeness, dropping knowledge of TV, movies, and comics. We've got Brian Dennis flexing his nerd muscles. How you level up your awesomeness? He will solve the puzzle. Just when you thought you've heard it all, a new episode will come along. Won't you like, subscribe, and rate our show? One last thing, leave a 5-star review before you go. Oh yeah!
Welcome to Prevenge of the Nerds. This is a podcast about the stories that could have led to your favorite movies, TV shows, and so much more. I'm Bradley Butin, and this is my esteemed co-host,
Brian S. Dennis, with an S stands for I can do this all day.
I can't wait to see where that's going to come into play. Now, Brian and I, we will be your guests. We will be your guides on this quest to level up your awesomeness. We will nerd out. We will get sidetracked. And we will have a great time doing it. But first, Brian.
Yes, sir.
Do you think that Doctor Strange saw more than one way to defeat Thanos, but only one way to defeat him with the loss of Iron Man's life?
That's a great question. Because if you saw in the movie that he goes through millions of different possibilities, and when the question is asked, how many do we win? And Strange responds, one. There could be the idea of, you know, this is just the one that gives him the outcome. And if you want to look at it, Stephen Strange, Dr. Strange, again, not his made up name. That is his real name.
Right.
He's an alpha male. Right. He and Stark definitely did not get along.
And we never got a good facial hair bros comment. Oh,
they never go teed it out, man.
And they didn't do a Sherlock Holmes thing either.
Right. So, yeah. So there are all these things that, you know, I would like to think that Strange wouldn't be so Machiavellian as to go, okay, we could win another way, but this is the way to get rid of Iron Man. But it poses the question, because we saw in Spider-Man No Way Home, he does not do well with being challenged.
Yeah.
So there could have been a little bit of that, but you got to love Benedict Cumberbatch. Whenever he gets the idea to call someone a douche, that's just, he just has a delivery of calling someone a douchebag that is just bar none. So I'm gonna bet on Strange's better demons. And hopefully he did not set us up, but it is not without the realm of possibilities.
All right. And if you agree, comment. If you disagree, comment as well. And let's discuss that further. All right. So this is how the show is going to go. First, we will cover our topic of the week. We will discuss, theorize, and give our 2 cents worth, along with a penny for our thoughts. Then we'll each have our own topic to cover with each other. These will be referred to as our cats. All right, Brian, before we get into our main topic, can you go ahead and introduce it?
Absolutely. So as we are getting near the end of 2021, as we're recording it, it is December 22nd. So for all of one in the Prevention of the Nurse universe, have a happy and safe holiday, however you spend this next upcoming days. But so we were thinking about our theme for December has been the best of. And one of the things that will definitely go down as one of the best of, I think, for this year would be not only Disney Plus and the various series they've had on, but what may go down is the best or one of the best of the series they've had so far, which is Hawkeye. So this is where we're going to give our disclaimer of spoiler alert. There will most likely be spoilers in this episode. So if you've not either watched the Hawkeye series or not had a chance to watch the Hawkeye season finale, which of the recording was released earlier today. Please be aware of that, as Debar and I are going to discuss this, the first and hopefully of multiple seasons of Hawkeye.
Man, Hawkeye's been my favorite out of all of them. We have WandaVision. Oh, hello. Hi.
Daddy, did you just crack your back?
Sure. Sure, I farted. You want to say hi to Bryant?
He did it again.
The problem that is, Leia, is when I can see you physically hitting the bubble wrap. And honestly, if your dad's flatulence sounded like bubble wrap, I would be greatly concerned for him.
Right. Oh, my back. Oh.
That is a little bit better. Back cracking, we can maybe buy into a little bit. Other than, again, if your back popped at this point probably like 4 dozen times, again, I would be really concerned for your overall well-being.
And I would probably be able to bend a lot better than I can.
That might be a thing, so you never know. Yeah.
My wife might like that.
You know? No, maybe.
Then you could sit on the ground a lot more.
Yeah, sit on the ground a lot more.
So while we're before we get into our Hawkeye debate, one of the questions that you asked me was in Strange's telling us of how we can save the universe in Infinity War, he had the one version that it was that truthfully the only version, or the only version that dealt with Iron Man dying. I have a theoretical question for you. So we know that upcoming is the movie Marvels, including which will have the live action debut of Ms. Marvel, whose powers include shape-shifting.
Yes.
But there's another very prominent member of the Marvel Universe who we've not seen debut yet, who has very similar powers. So do you think maybe in Marvels, will there be some way of introducing the other Bendy member of the MCU, Mr. Fantastic? Do you think there's a possibility that we may see something there?
I really hope so, but I doubt it. All right. I don't think they could go too much further without bringing in Fantastic Four in some capacity.
I agree.
You know, I mean, like, they're Fantastic Four, because we need a good Fantastic Four. The Richards is Marvel's first family.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, and you know what?
And how long can we, right. Absolutely scrap the movies. I agree with you. You got to do it as a series.
Yeah. Just do a Disney Plus series and make that be the connecting tissue between everything.
Sure. And by the fact they are, which I think is one of the strengths, number one, you've got all the properties and have the platform and everything that they have, they can do things that no other creative entity has been able to do.
Yeah.
But they also, so we know that we've had, so in Marvel, and this is where DC sometimes beats Marvel, in that DC has more iconic villains from a casual fan base. You know, you have Lex Luthor. You could stop someone on the street and go, do you know who Lex Luthor is? And they can tell you who Lex Luthor is. Same thing with the Joker, a lot of Batman's rogues galleries. When you look at Marvel, especially in the last, since the first movies like Blade and Hulk and the X-Men movies, for the most part, they've really leaned into the hero side, and the villains have kind of been a lot of one-offs. So by bringing in the Fantastic Four and ultimately X-Men, You give us two villains which are really prominent in the Marvel Universe, in Magneto via X-Men, Dr. Doom, and Dr. Doom via the Fantastic Four. I think we got to get to, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but as we're looking at the future of Avengers teams and having a big enough bad that you do have to have this Earth's Mightiest Heroes team, you know, they gave us Thanos. We have the one that remains. Which, if you're not familiar about that, that's a great reason to go watch Loki. But then you got to think about who would be next, and my brain goes to Dr. Doom. Absolutely.
I agree. And Dr. Doom, I mean, is probably one of the best villains that's ever been created.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can argue Magneto isn't really a villain. I mean,
true.
You know, I mean, it's not that far of a stretch for Magneto.
He is definitely a anti-hero. You could even say he's an anarchist, not necessarily evil, as much as he just knows the system does not serve his people, in quotation marks, very well. He and Professor Xavier are two sides of the same coin, right?
Yeah.
And they do a great job with that dichotomy. Yeah. Magneto is just balls to the wall evil.
You mean Doctor Doom?
I'm sorry, Doctor Doom. And this is something they've not really done.
Mm-hmm.
You could say that they made Thanos in some pieces a relatable character. I mean, of the original timeline, Thanos, I mean, his last line was he looking endearingly onto Nova. Think about that trauma. When your dad finally says, you know, basically he apologizes by going, you know, maybe I judged you too harshly, to see the big blonde guy behead him. And so there's that piece. And then you ultimately have to kill yourself too later is weird. But then the other piece, like, Nova's going to be a joy for someone to date. And then the other piece, I just really would love it if we got a Nova Winter Soldier relationship. I just think they could do the whole metal arm thing and, you know, you're okay and we're not okay together. But Wenwu in Shang-Chi and Legend of Ring, I think at this point, I probably watched that movie well over a dozen times at this point. Mm-hmm. Just love it. They did a great job of humanizing him.
Mm-hmm.
So they really haven't had a big bad, even when they do horrific things, without giving them some type of redeeming part. You could just go completely all in with evil. They try to do it with the Mandarin, but then there's the whole Trevor thing. But you could really just play deep dive into evil and with Doctor Doom.
You know, and you know, my pick for Doctor Doom would be Denzel Washington.
I like it.
Man.
Won't happen, but I like it.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been wanting to get him into Marvel for a long time. I mean, I know, wasn't he in talks for a Black Panther movie like 15 years ago or something like that?
Absolutely, he was, yes.
Yeah, but they just couldn't make it work. But which I'm glad, because the one we got that you can't beat. Right. I mean,
as always, RIP Chadwick, but yes.
Right. Absolutely. Right. Yeah. I mean, but Dr. Doom is, you could honestly do a movie just Dr. Doom.
You could do a straight up Doom, just like you did a Venom.
Yeah.
You could do a Doom. You really could. Yeah. You could actually, and it's something that Marvel hasn't done. They left with Loki, because again, someone that they humanize and redeem is Loki. But you could actually do the Fantastic Four movie, but do it from the perspective of making Doom the central character. You know, think he sabotages the trip. Mm-hmm. So then these four, you know, and you've already, as I'm thinking about all the things they could do, given that I would love it if somehow in wherever they take Spider-Man, since let's say Peter Parker actually does get into MIT, mm-hmm. wouldn't that be a great way to introduce Reed Richards and Ben Grimm?
Yeah.
And Victor Von Doom, even, you know.
Yeah, that, the Baxterville, you know, building and everything, yeah.
Yeah, like and they've had some interplay between Reed and Spider-Man in the comics, mm-hmm. both geniuses, both a little socially awkward.
Yeah, Future Foundation as well, and Spider-Man's been part of the Fantastic Four, absolutely. You know, but yes, he was, but really, was he? No, you know, I mean, like, I mean, Spider-Man, it's hard to put him on a team,
right?
You know, because he's one of the best like Superman besides the Justice League,
right?
And really, like, should Superman be on the Justice League?
Absolutely not. I mean, it's Superman, and again, I know we spent a lot of time on the MCU, but just looking at DC, Superman is almost, and it's kind of how they did it, and I think the way they did it right was with Invincible, mm-hmm. is that you had the superhero team, but when things completely get out of control, you bring in Invincible's dad, whose name I'm blanking on right now. Thank you. You bring in Omni-Man. So it's the step above the Justice League or the Avengers of that universe. Superman, really, because there's nothing Superman can't do.
Yeah.
Like, if there's something beyond what the Justice League could do, that's when you bring in Soup.
Yeah.
You know, that's when, you know, you literally have maybe every global leader has like a hotline phone to the Fortress of Solitude or something, where, because he's, again, his powers make him so much bigger.
Yeah.
And even Wonder Woman, it makes him so much bigger.
Yeah.
And everyone else that you do go, why would this guy be on a team?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, and again, I always make the argument that Superman really looks down upon humanity, and that makes him a very flawed character. But I digress. I won't get to my 10 reasons why I hate Superman, but that may be a future podcast.
That will be, because, I mean, yes. I mean, like, there's... Superman is at its... Honestly, like, Superman is at its best with the new Superman and Lois show.
Absolutely.
Love
and
that
giving thing. Him kids gives them a reason to be humanized. Absolutely,
right exactly. Lose.
Yeah,
but like in the con, and then they're going that direction with the comics with John and everything. But then they also do some. They have some weird stuff going on. But anyway, let's get back to Marvel. We could talk about DC all day. So
sure.
But before we get back to the topic, I do want to talk about. So Miss Marvel, do you think with Miss Marvel,
mm-hmm.
they're going to make her an Inhuman?
I think they're definitely leaning that way. I would be more surprised if they don't tie in some type of Inhuman connection with that, which I personally really like the idea of the Inhumans. The execution has not been as great as I would like, but I think the Inhumans as a plot point, as a group, as a species, quote unquote, there's a lot that can be done there. So I'm hoping that maybe that's a way of, again, Marvel seems to, even things we think they get wrong, if you give them time, they tend to get it right. So yeah, I think we'll give them a little bit and see what happens from there.
Well, speaking of Miss Marvel, who is a very, very good Kamala Khan, who is a good friend with Kate Bishop.
Yes. Yes. So,
Hawkeye. Six episodes.
Six great episodes.
Four and a half hours, I'm guessing, for everything.
Yep.
There are some big things that popped up. One of the things we'll talk about at the end was the watch. That's kind of how it ended.
Besides, hey, let's remember, it wasn't just a watch, bro. It was a Rolex.
It was a Rolex.
Let's remember that. Like, okay, so when we get to, again, spoiler alerts, but when we talk more about this watch, let's just think about the swag that is had by this group. Okay, but yes.
Who do you think gave that watch? Here's your layup.
Oh, I was going to say, come on now. Now, but since you're going to make it so easy for me, of course, Nick Fury, played by the incomparable Samuel L. Jackson, where the L stands for, you know, I knew this was going to be an easy week for that. I'm like, it'll just write itself. Yeah. I was just thinking like, I was like, okay, I'll wait till like halfway through. But no, exactly right. So yes, we've got our Nick Fury and Samuel L. Jackson note of the day. By the way, Samuel L. Jackson, if you're listening, come on the show. We're nice. Yeah. All right. Okay. So continue on about Hawkeye.
Yeah. So Hawkeye is the greatest of Christmas movie shows, whatever.
It seriously, I think it's going to be the new Christmas standard.
Yes. I will be watching that every year for Christmas. Yes, we'll be watching Hawkeye.
Yes.
Leia, are you going to watch Hawkeye since the superhero wears purple and is a girl?
How do you want to answer that question for you?
Oh. Yeah.
All right, I love my titties.
All right, Xana.
Daddy.
Yes, dear. Oh, I'm being shushed.
Honey.
Xana.
Yes, it is Xana.
Xana's way cooler of a name.
Mr. Washington's name is Honey Bears.
Honey Bears. She added a bear to it now.
She added a bear. Okay, then. All right.
I will say Honey Bear is a step up from Honey.
I will say there's a little more texture to that.
It's better than Xana.
By the way, whether we're calling her Xana or Honey Bear, that is the most chill cat. She's getting kind of bopped around a little bit and is just kind of rolling with it.
Yeah.
She's not rolling with it. The
kittens are at that growth of getting up on all the counters.
Sure.
Yeah. All right, kiddo, why don't you say bye to Brian so we can get working doing the podcast.
Merry Christmas. Bye. 3 days till Christmas. Tomorrow will be two, and the day after that will be one, and then the day after that, it'll be Christmas.
Because that is how time and numbers work. Yes.
All right, baby girl. I love you.
Goodbye.
Say bye. Do you wanna come with me to deliver some Christmas candy to Brian?
Sure.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so, all right, so in there's so much to cover at Hawkeye, and I know I took us on a 10 before we got started.
You're good.
But part of me, and I almost want to jump to the end and circle back to the beginning, because one of the things you said to Leia was Kate Bishop, who goes by Hawkeye, and again, in the comics, really Young Avengers, she goes by Hawkeye, but at the end of episode 6, they were throwing around names, and then the last piece of it was Hawkeye, meaning Clint Barton, goes, and remember, he very rarely, both he and Natasha rarely use their monikers of Hawkeye and Black Widow.
Yeah.
Which I like that they did that. So and Wanda as well with Scarlet Witch. Well, Scarlet wasn't even a thing for her until the series. Mm-hmm. Then you could kind of play in the code names and maybe more the alter egos with the stuff that they're doing on the network. But with that being said, do you think she takes over officially the moniker Hawkeye, or did they do something different with it? You know, nothing can be worse than Arrowette. So,
right.
With that one,
that was just such lazy writing. I mean, come on.
Well, honest to goodness, even Speedy. But right? You know, in the pantheon of archers in comics, do you think she's Hawkeye? Do you think they come with something different?
I think she's Hawkeye.
Okay, then at least a part two of it is Barton also Hawkeye? Is he retiring? Like where does this leave Hawkeye? Because Ronan is supposedly no more. So yeah, what Ronan do we have here? Do we get Goliath?
I think that it's
going to be. We haven't seen Lawrence Fishburne in a while, so maybe
that would be awesome. I'm down for that. I think the way it's going to be Clint Barton Hawkeye and Kate Bishop Hawkeye.
I can see both using it.
Yeah.
I can definitely see both using it. And again, because he doesn't use the moniker that often, he always seems to be a little uncomfortable with it, you know.
And he doesn't care.
No. By the way, isn't Jeremy Renner just the coolest cat? Dude. Like, there's a point where you realize, because again, I'm a huge fan of Mayor of Kingstown. And then you saw him in the Bourne Supremacy movies, and he has to have a guest spot on an early episode of Angel. I mean, he was a cool ass vampire. Like in almost anything he does, have you seen the movie Tag?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, in pretty much That's anything good. He does, comedy, drama, action, he's just hella cool. Yeah. And he can sing. So I'm just like, this may be the coolest cat ever, you know, second only to Samuel Jackson.
You know,
where the L stand for MF-er. Okay, yeah.
Hey, you know what? Just even to piggyback on the Samuel Jackson, and now you can actually say that Jeremy Renner also starred in a movie SWAT with Colin Farrell, and Hondo was none other than
Samuel Jackson. Yes. Now, with that being said, though, I will say, as much as I love Sam, I will say they maybe improved Hondo a little bit with Shamar Moore. Just for the ladies, but you know what? Nah. But
Shamar Moore, why is he not John Stewart? He should be John Stewart, Green Lantern. He should be Cyborg. That dude, why is he not in movies? He's voiced Cyborg.
Yes. I mean, and no matter what look he pulls off, this goes back to, I'm not a big soap opera fan, but for every one of my friends that are huge, huge Shamar Moore friends, they go, he was beautiful in this, I think Malcolm was the name of the character on Young and the Restless, I believe it was a soap opera, for years on Criminal Minds, now with, I think, 3 seasons, maybe 4 on SWAT.
Four or five.
Yeah, and I mean, he just looks part of a badass. The guy's in phenomenal physical shape.
Yeah.
I think I saw an interview with Grant on the Graham Norton show where people were talking about Ryan Reynolds, where they go, you know, for nothing else, when he puts on the spandex suit, he has to suck nothing in. He's just in phenomenal shape.
Yeah.
I think it might have been Benedict Cumberbatch going, there's a reason that Doctor Strange wears like real clothes, you know, because it's
right.
You don't want this anything extremely tight.
Yeah.
You know, so. He is a real life superhero. I mean, if they would ever do a G.I. Joe, you know, reboot, he would be a perfect fit for that. Yeah. So Shamar, as your pseudo agents, come to the MCU. Yeah. We got work for you.
Yeah. Come to any of them. DC, yes. Marvel. I mean, yeah. we'll find you a part. I mean, like, man, you could pull off.
You're right. John Stewart Green Lantern. He'd be great as a John Stewart Green Lantern.
Right. Yeah. And he could pull off. Back to the DC part on the, so my origin for John Stewart is the Marine, not the architect.
Right. Yeah. Right. I think when you do the architect, it gets too much into Kyle Rayner stuff as well. I mean, there's too much similarity. And I like the idea because with the Green Lantern, because you bring so much of yourself to being the Lantern and how the ring reacts to you, that you could do really cool things on what constructs are created. So I always like the idea when they use John Stewart's origin as being a Marine, his constructs were very rudimentary. There were blocks, there were hammers, there were swords. You know, Rayner would make like a super intricate ray gun, you know, where you get to see the moving parts because he's an artist, right?
Right.
You know, you would see how Jordan, everything kind of went back to being a jet fighter. So everything was like wings and engines and things of that nature. So I like the idea of doing that with him. And I mean, he would completely pull it off. I also thought that if they did it, the other person I would cast out, and we have now turned this into a Green Lantern podcast, which is, are you familiar with the actor Dennis Haysbert?
Yeah.
He, I thought, would also do an excellent John Stewart.
See, Jackson, I think, could pull it off as well.
Yes, you need someone with a really strong voice because that's what, because again, especially with the idea that he's, you know, been in the military, and again, you yourself are a veteran. Thank you so much for your service. Is that ability to project and have that commanding presence? So you want someone with a really strong, a really strong voice, really command of dialogue, that jaw, that again, obviously being in really good physical shape.
Yeah.
You know, maybe again if they play him as a little older, kind of gristled and beat down a little bit because he's seen some stuff, all that sort of thing. I think, and so again, any of those three we just mentioned, I think would be phenomenal.
Yeah, he would be really good for like a storyline with Jessica and Simon, where he's in charge of them. I mean, where he's the older type. Yeah, I love Green Lanterns. Listen to several podcasts. I nerd out about them a lot. So we will get through Hawkeye. Back to Hawkeye.
All right. Yes. All right. Hawkeye, we're focused now. Here we go. Yes.
Okay. So episode one really was just, it's a setup of the story.
Sure.
Kate Bishop is kind of a fan of her, of Clint Barton due to the events of Avengers 1. And she grows up to become a awesome gymnast, martial artist, an archer, and she decides to take the Ronin outfit that was on a black market auction.
Yep.
And this set off a string of events that she had to get rescued by her mentor, or not mentor at the time, her idol.
Yep. She's totally a fangirl at this point, but definitely the relationship grows, which again, so like you said, but I just to make sure, and again, not to bury the lead, but we want to make sure again, spoiler alert, just even so when you say she grew up being a fan of his, because she was in an apartment that was adjacent to the Battle of New York. So she got to see Hawkeye up close and personal fighting the Chitauri. So I love that Marvel, it's not one of those things that, okay, this happened and now they put it down. Like they show again with the Department of Damage Control, which they showed in Spider-Man No Way Home, what they did with the origin story of the Vulture, what they did now with Kate Bishop is showing, you know, when you have over one of the most populous cities, not only in the country, but in the world, and it's invaded by an army from outer space, it tends to leave some remnants, right?
Yeah.
So that her whole life was changed. She was inspired. And again, it was inspired by a non-super powered, non-enhanced individual. And I do love that Marvel is really taking care, and this gets to some other stuff that is really great about this series, is it will be really easy to make everything in a world, backing up a little bit, one of the things that I've seen in different podcasts and movies and documentaries, I should say, when looking at one of the reasons why DC really outpaced Marvel for so long when it came to feature films is that the technology really didn't exist to bring a lot of the Marvel abilities mm-hmm. to the big screen in a good way. Now we're there now.
Yeah.
But so then it would be really easy to focus where you literally have a god with a hammer, where you literally have a wizard, where you really, and they mentioned in the show, I think it was the first episode, where you live in a world, Shang-Chi, not, so we live in a world where half the population could be erased with a snap of your finger. It'll be really easy to make everything big.
Yeah.
And they do such a good job, especially in the shows. And they do some of the movies as well, but I like, because the shows give you at least six episodes, again, I think not enough episodes, because I just want more, of making this real world, in quotation, as real as they can, and making it small and showing how, again, yes, you had this big battle for New York, but what happened to the people that were living in New York, and what happens to them, you know, 10, 12 years later? And we talk about when they talk about the blip a little bit in this series. So they do a great job of making this. So you're right. Kate Bishop, though, is inspired by her hero, her icon, Hawkeye, aka Clint Barton. So she spends the next, and she's also a child of privilege. Her family's got money. Mm-hmm. Of really dedicating herself to potentially becoming an Avenger.
Yeah.
So she's a martial artist. She is an archer. She knows how to fight. She's extremely intelligent, and that gives us the lay the ground by for Kate Bishop, who's played wonderfully by Haley Steinfeld. So just really, really great, really great.
I love their friends that they make along the way. The dog Lucky, the pizza dog.
Yes.
And the LARPers. The LARPers.
And they explain
awesome.
What LARPing is, which I love. They're like, you know what LARPing is? No, what is it? They explain what LARPing is.
And it, like Clint Barton LARPs. That was so awesome. I love that.
You have to let me kill you. No.
Come on, man. Come on.
Like, okay. Dude, I fought Thanos. No.
Right? Oh, my God.
So, yes. Yeah. And, of course, the introduction of the wonderful Tracksuit Mafia.
Dude, so awesome.
I mean, if those of you have not seen this, if you are listening to this, I don't know why, since you know the spoilers, but legitimately there is a organized crime syndicate in the series, and they all wear tracksuits. Mm-hmm. It is beautiful. It is so stupid that it makes sense.
And it's straight out of the Hawkeye comic.
Yes.
Matt Fraction.
I think you're right. Yeah.
Yeah, the name slips my mind right now. I apologize to anybody listening, but correct me if send me who it is. But it's a great book. I think I have it actually somewhere around here. But okay. But yeah, and that one is heavily Clint and Kate Bishop as well. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The series kind of they leaned on that comic book series for it.
Yep.
We get Kingpin brought into this universe.
So this is where I think we need to pause for a second and understand between No Way Home mm-hmm. and now with Hawkeye, it is such a concerted effort, because there was a meme that was going around social media when Endgame came out, and where assuming that mm-hmm. you've seen Endgame, if you haven't, what are you doing with your life?
Right.
But when, you know, you have that great scene where, you know, Steve's strapping up the broken shield and Thanos' army is coming down, and you have Falcon Sam Wilson over the earbuds going, you know, on your left. And we see, you know, I watched that again this morning. I love that the first four people to come out of the portals were people of color. I just love that. But anyway, and it goes, you have that great scene with Wong and Doctor Strange having like a little mini argument of, you know, is that everybody, you want more? And then you eventually see like Ant-Man coming out with a few folks. Mm-hmm. And then there's a meme of that scene, and then showing everyone from the Netflix Marvel shows just kind of hanging out, like in New York. Like the Defenders is like, you know. So, but what we saw in No Way Home, spoiler alert, we got a Daredevil cameo. Mm-hmm. And in Hawkeye, we have Kingpin played by Vincent D'Onofrio. Yeah. He's come a long way from being a cockroach. He has come a long way from being a cockroach.
He's come a long way from boot camp as well.
Right? This is my weapon. This is my gun. And we'll keep going. Okay, yes. So... But yes, but he's great. Oh God, I love how he plays Kingpin. No disrespect to Michael Clark Duncan, but oh my goodness, he is so great as Kingpin.
Yes, and he got to be real. So is this the Netflix Kingpin and Deadpool, or are they just a different version of the same person?
That's a good question.
So I go back and forth because I mean, like. I think bringing the Netflix Daredevil into the universe is going to be a little tougher. But, I mean, why not? I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, all in all, I mean, they're going to tell a story and it's going to be awesome.
Right. I mean, at some point we're going to have more of the Deadpool's got to eventually, you know, get here.
So why is Deadpool not taking over the Stan Lee cameos? Why are they not throwing a Deadpool cameo into every movie?
Okay, because I don't know why, but in my head, this is why. You tell Ryan Reynolds, hey, we're going to give you a cameo, but you have to do two things. Stay on script and keep the movie with no more than a PG-13 rating. That could be really hard for him. That could be really hard. Like, but I got to be Deadpool. Like, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, 30 seconds.
Yes.
or not even, like, right.
Yes. Could you imagine, though, any type of scene with, I just really want, of all the things you could have, just real quick tangent, I would love to see just one little brief interaction with Rocket and Deadpool. I feel like those two
in group.
Would just have so much, in group. Yes. Yep. Because if you think, by the way, Chris, the name Pratt? Of Star-Lord, Chris Pratt. Chris Pratt is channeling his best safe for work Ryan Reynolds. Some of the tonality of it is just like, come on now, you've just really, you watch Van Wilder before, right. Before you did your scene, man. Come on. Okay. But anyway.
Or waiting.
waiting. Yes, waiting is also really good. Just not Marvel Wolverine's origins. Just not that.
Yeah, that never happened.
Yeah. By the way, have you noticed between what they're calling, I think, the legacy films? So a lot of the original X-Men movies are now on Disney Plus. Some of the Fantastic Four were there, which are not there anymore. HBO has a lot of the Wolverine movies, but mm-hmm. the one that you cannot find on either Disney Plus or HBO is actually Wolverine Origins, which tells you a lot.
Yeah, it does.
Which tells you a lot. Okay, we have The Wolverine, which actually was a good movie. It was a good movie.
Yeah.
The thing with they kind of trailed it. We didn't get what should have been the follow-up when they meet him in the airport, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. But Wolverine Origins, I wanted to like it, and it started off really strong with first off giving us Liev Schreiber, as Wolverine, Sabretooth, and making their powers more parallel and them really being brothers and all that, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, good use of the character.
Yes. And I'm a Black Eyed Peas fan, so having Will I Am in there wasn't bad. And I was good up to the ride in the elevator, and then we all know where Deadpool goes from there.
Yeah,
and it's just really,
yeah.
And then the other continuity is that. By the way, I did get. A friend of mine commented of they really like that the fact that we explained the multiverse because they were really confused because they were like, wait a minute, there's a Cyclops, because this is where we started having multiverse of Cyclops, multiverse of Emma Frost. You know, Emma Frost is a grown up in the 60s but a teenager in the 70s. Like, that's not how time works, you know. Right. So I liked all those different things, all those different. She's also nice. I'm like, wait, what? Huh? Yeah. How's that a thing? And then you go, wait a minute. If Cyclops was a teenager in like 78, why is he 25 in 1995? Like, what happened there? So
they're making green beans.
Okay, you may go make some green beans. All right, let's undo the crunching right now, all right?
But I'm hungry.
Then go in another room, please.
Okay.
All right, love you.
All right, so back to it. Okay, so now we, again, so yeah, I don't know which version of Kingpin. I was just really jazzed to see Kingpin. And not only Kingpin, but that is still also played by Vincent D'Onofrio. He brings so much to that character. And we only get one episode where we really get him, at least so far. He made the most of that 40 some odd minutes that he was on, that episode contained.
So, really, really, I mean, I'm sure he'll be the main villain of Echo, or the show Echo.
Because Kingpin doesn't go out that easily.
No. But I will say, Kate Bishop, I was very impressed with that fight. With the Kingpin, that was awesome. Oh, man.
Yes. And I love the fact that they have taken it, because this is a big, this is a central part of him in the comics even. You have this big, you know, he's supposed to be almost 7 feet tall, 400 pounds. And it'd be really easy to say he's this portly guy, but they really make the point to go, no, Kingpin is a badass. From a hand-to-hand combatant, because he came up in the streets. Yeah. So as a hand-to-hand combatant, he could hang with most non-enhanced fighters in the MCU, and quite a few enhanced. He holds his own against Daredevil. He holds his own against so many. And to see Kate Bishop then hold her on against Kingpin was really, I mean, that's a great way to give her to give her the rub that, you know, she can actually fight. She didn't die. Mm-hmm. But also to, again, get that, again, they made it small. They gave him a busted up store. Yeah. And they're in there fighting, and they give an elongated fight scene. It probably was about 5 minutes. And they intersperse some other things in there as well. But again, just a great way of taking something where it can be really, really big and make it where you just really can watch it as like, this maybe could actually happen, which again makes the show that much more interesting.
And then while that fight was going on, you had the confrontation between Yelena and Barton, which again was great.
Yes.
I like the way that ended. I actually thought that she was going to be with them for Christmas at the Barton.
Sure. The best part of the Black Widow movie has been the handing of the baton from Natasha to Yelena. Mm-hmm. I mean, that has been that is something that they accomplished. Again, give Marvel time, they seem to get it right. Mm-hmm. For there are some things about that movie that it was a fine movie, and honestly, if it existed in a world with so many of the other movies where it's just were not so damn good, it's a fine movie. It's when you compare it to movies, including movies with lesser known characters like Doctor Strange, like Ant-Man and Wasp, that I think are better. That it's Scarlett Johansson, who, again, if you take her out of the Marvel Universe, is an extremely talented actress and had a good cast. But they with the debut of her, again, you have Echo, which was great. And if we can take a 2 second deep dive here, one of the things that I love so much about Hawkeye is the fact that it really brought in a lot of diversity into the MCU. Not only when you look at, you know, Echo, Maya Lopez, but also the idea of, in a world we have all these people have superpowers, you brought in where so many of the cast members had a disability, which I thought was fantastic. So Barton is hard of hearing, not deaf, hard of hearing, where he wears a hearing aid. They do a great job of one episode, I think it's episode 3, where his hearing aid is actually damaged. So there's a good bit of the episode where you are hearing it as he would hear it, so everything is muffled. He's actually talking on the phone, thinking to his wife. It's actually one of his kids, because he can't hear the voice, and it was just called for her number. So, you know, the idea of the call, and how Kate helps him through that phone call.
Yeah, one of the best scenes of the whole show.
It really was. Echo missing the leg, and death.
Yeah.
And being a total badass there. And if it follows the comics, when she shoots Kingpin, he's actually blinded by the gunshot. So in the comics, when that same thing happens, she doesn't kill him, but she does render him blind for a while. So I'm curious if that's going to be where we take this next step here. Because again, Kingpin's not one and done, especially not with one gunshot. Yeah. That's not going to do it. But so I just thought DC handled it with information, sensitivity, totally gave reverence to a culture, did it respectfully, and made it badass. You know,
so you think we'll get Luke Cage in the Echo series then?
I hope so. I mean, we've already seen Charlie Cox, we've not seen Memphis D'Onofrio. I don't see how I think you said this on the pandemic when we were talking about how Shang-Chi's probably taken away the need or the relevance for Iron Fist, which works for me. I still think there's space for Luke Cage. I personally would love to see Luke Cage somehow surface in Wakanda. I think that would be really awesome. I could see, you know, as Harlem's superhero, he found that there's a nation. And it's really in the vacuum of Chadwick, vacuum of Black Panther, T'Challa, with Chadwick Boseman's untimely passing. You know, that's a great time to integrate Luke Cage into not being Black Panther. I do not think he should be Black Panther. No. We know who it's going to be. But I think it would be very cool just to have him there. Mm-hmm. You know, just to have him there as I wanted to see this. You know, now Mike Colton is really busy doing Evil on CBS, so I don't know. Yeah, very great show. But, you know, filming can happen in lots of different schedules. So hopefully we can get him where he can reprise that role, because I really love that, because I love the update, because I can tell you before, as a person of color, I hated Power Man with the Sweet Christmas. I just thought, this is the dumbest thing. Like, who runs around going Sweet Christmas? Yeah, okay. So the fact that they pretty much took that away for the most part and really updated it, so hopefully we get a Luke Cage. I would love to see him in Wakanda, but any way we can get him, I'd love to see it.
My favorite thing about Luke Cage is Heroes for Hire.
Yes.
And I and the fact that in the future of Marvel, Luke Cage and Jessica Jones's daughter is Captain America.
Yep.
So a little nugget of trivia for you. Now, all right. We get the watch. The watch, when you see it, has a shield symbol on there with a number 19. Brian, what is significant about Agent 19?
Okay, so bear with me, because I want to give the full reverence of why this is significant, which is this. Please. So one of the great things that made the first phase of the MCU so awesome was the relationship between Clint Barton, aka Hawkeye, and Natasha Romanoff, aka the Black Widow. In the reality of the comic books, that relationship does not exist, not in that form. The relationship that really mirrors is the relationship between Hawkeye and a character named Mockingbird. Now, the character named Bobby Morse. Now, in the world of the comics, when Bobby... So before I tell you this piece, let me to go to what Brad mentioned. On the shield Rolex, again, let's remember this is a fly-ass watch. So only Samuel Jackson as Nick Cage make sure all of his agents have Rolexes, okay? Yeah, right. If it was anybody else, you're getting a Timex, okay? You're getting a Casio. Right. He's like, nah, you're getting a Rolex.
I mean, you're getting a calculator watch.
Yeah, your lucky shield doesn't just give you a Bentley, okay? So I would love to see the budget, all right? So with that being said, so presumably every agent on their Rolex also has their agent number. So the shield watch on the back of the Rolex, number 19, aka Agent 19. So Bobby Morse, aka Mockingbird, is also known as Agent 19. The watch belongs to Clint Barton's wife, Laura Barton, played by Linda Cardinelli. If you've seen the Scooby-Doo live action movie, she played Velma. Mm-hmm. If you're an ER fan, she was on ER for a while, but she actually, which makes perfect sense, that she's a shield agent. Why she handles his avenging so well, why there's no concern that she's never is overwhelmed that Captain America is kind of hanging out in her living room while Thor is stepping on her kids' toys. They would explain the kind of the closeness between her and Natasha. It makes perfect sense that she is an agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. It also would make sense that she is Mockingbird-ish. Now, it'll be curious because Mockingbird is an enhanced person, so I'm curious if she has some powers.
Yeah.
But minimally, we have it. Now, the other piece is that there is a Bobby Morse that has this on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
So how do you, again, do the continuity, trust Marvel Plus, we got a multiverse.
Yeah.
We don't want to lean on that to make for lazy writing. Oh, just put another universe. But it is, and it don't have to be one of the same. Or, you know, Agent 19 could be very similar to 007. Mm. It's a moniker that can be held by multiple people.
Yeah, that's where I take it.
Yeah. But I think it is very cool that she, at least minimally, she was a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent, and she quite honestly could be a reimagining of the Mockingbird character, which brings in, again, Mockingbird's powers, all this sort of thing. I was just really excited to see that. Because me personally, again, I've said this before in the podcast, I was a huge Avengers fan of the comics as a kid. So she was one of my favorite characters. So seeing her actually now in some way, shape, or form in the MCU is really, really exciting.
Correct. And that also means that now that we know she's a S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and Mockingbird, there's no way she can get through anything else, any more cameos or whatever without kicking some butt.
Right. We're going to see her expanded role. You and I were chatting right before we started recording that when they cast her and we saw her in Ultron, that you get the idea of she's such a great actress that you have to want her to do more.
Mm-hmm.
And now this is an opportunity for her to do more. And I'm really, really excited to see this, like, I think what any great series should do, especially in the first season, and you only give them 6 episodes, it should make you really excited for the next season. And I would say it's did that more because I think that I want to pose the question to you in a moment. But I think what it is, so of the 5 series that Marvel has released via Disney Plus, which have been WandaVision, WandaVision and Hawkeye, but Falcon, Winter Soldier, Loki, and What If. I would say that all of them, I think, finished pretty strongly, but I think this one is the one that left me the most excited for what comes next.
Me too, man. I love the fact that it was that Christmas themed.
Yes.
So, I mean, if Die Hard is your Christmas movie, this is your Christmas show.
It is. It right? is. It is. It
yeah,
is.
Yeah, man. And it's at the top of my list. This is my favorite Marvel show.
Yeah, I'm going back and forth because when we were texting earlier and you mentioned it was your favorite show, I almost went to go, well, no, I like WandaVision better. I go, no, because WandaVision, and I get why it was done that way. WandaVision, because I've had lots of friends that watched WandaVision that were checked out the first few episodes, like, what is this?
Yeah.
And I go, just get to episode 4. If you make it episode 4, it starts to make all, it makes perfect sense. And it did. They pull it together. Falcon and Winter Soldier, and it also was the one that had, I think, 9 episodes. Falcon and Winter Soldier, Vince transition to Captain America and Winter Soldier was great. Really felt 6 episodes, more than any of them, 6 episodes felt like too few. Loki was great. Setting up the next big bad when it comes to that. Loki, though, unfortunately, with a couple episodes, was a little dry because it was a slower build.
Yeah.
What If lost me in the middle, then won me back with the last 2 episodes, which made all the other episodes better. This one, there was not one episode that I felt was a lull. All of them had great things. And, you know, it brought about a character. I'll kind of put a pin on my thoughts on this, which is, you know, WandaVision had a lot of, you know, lead into it because the pandemic hit, which slowed down things being released. It was the first show, you know, it starred, you know, to enhance people, you know, it was all over. So it got a lot of swag for being first. Loki has Loki, the original big bad of the MCU universe, you know. Captain America and, excuse me, Falcon and Winter Soldier, again, starring 2 big name stars of the Avengers, And again, there's a lot of social consciousness that came out with that. It was the one that really focused most on the ramifications of the blip. What If, which is really cool, because every episode appeared not to be connected, but then they were, which was really good. Mm-hmm. But this one, I think, when you look at the character that was centered around, and this is no disrespect to Hawkeye, probably had the lowest level character that was going to be the central of the show, the centerpiece of the show. Mm-hmm. And I think it did the best. Mm-hmm. And honestly, yeah. When you compare Hawkeye to the Black Widow movie, I don't think there's any comparison which one of those is better.
Agree. And I mean, when you talk about, I mean, this is a pretty much a passing the torch movie.
Yes.
And it was fantastic. I mean, like, they did a great job. You didn't feel like, oh, this, you know, like, how are they going to do Kate Bishop? They did her justice. It was comic accurate. I mean, she looks the part. I mean, man, she's pulled right out of the comics.
Absolutely.
You know, great job. Great job all the way around. Anything else you want to say about Hawkeye?
The purple, well, two things. Number one, the purple uniforms were great. They finally brought them in there. But then, and Brad, I cannot believe you've forgotten the single greatest part. I can do this all day. So, again, for those of you that have seen it and for those of you who have not, the first episode is the Barton family actually going to New York to kind of pre-Christmas their Christmas,
right,
do some shopping. I asked them to catch a Broadway show, which is of the Avengers. And they made a musical out of the Avengers, a la how they made a musical out of Spider-Man. Okay. Yeah. So first off, it's bad. But it's bad because it's supposed to be bad.
Yeah.
And then the Easter egg, the hidden scene at the end of season 6 is an elongated musical piece, an elongated song of the Broadway cast doing the Avengers. And as you know, that was my thing. We asked what the S stood for.
Yeah,
I can do this all day because we all know that's the Captain America line,
right?
And they did it in a way that honestly, it was that if you ever seen Rent, it was almost in that type of format. It was glorious. I actually caught myself kind of rocking in my bed. I was watching it, you know, like 4 something this morning. I was like, what's up? I was actually digging it.
Yeah.
So that's a great phone. Yes. Is it really? it was such a great way to end the first season. And it was done beautifully. And again, think about the talent. They probably spent a great deal of time, money, and detail for something that was gonna spend like 3-4 minutes as a in credit scene at the end of a series, season one of a series. Mm-hmm. So God bless Marvel. I mean, that was awesome.
It was
completely awesome.
It was fantastic. I'm with you. It was the best way to end that show.
It really was. And truthfully, last thing on this is back to the 5 series we've seen so far. They all intersect in some way, shape. What If, maybe not. But the other 4 all really have some intersectionality and they all connect. Connectivity is probably a better term. But they all are so darn different.
Yeah.
And that is really impressive. Yet you're not watching the same series with different actors. There's a completely different tone in WandaVision versus Falcon and Winter Soldier versus Loki versus Hawkeye. And What If is his own thing over in the corner. Mm-hmm. I just think that is so great, the way that they've done all these series. And I'm really, do we know what's next? Is it She-Hulk?
I think so. I think so. She-Hulk, it's gotta be.
And then I know they wrapped. I'm sorry, what was it?
I know She-Hulk has wrapped. So,
yep.
She-Hulk and then the Marvels?
The Marvels. Marvels have got to be a movie though, right?
Yeah, you are.
Marvels is a movie. But then also there will be an Echo spinoff as well, which I believe they said will come out in 2022. So I don't know. So I don't know if they went directly into filming Echo from Hawkeye, because I think it's supposed to pick up like immediately after the events of Hawkeye. But it makes me just really excited for their next series.
Yeah. So upcoming Marvel. Oh no, I can't.
It's okay. We'll have to look for it. But let's remember this before we move on to our tasks. Remember that, and you know, it's everything is, you know, hindsight is always 20/20, right? But and I was one of them. People were really concerned if Marvel could actually do movies, because remember by the time that Iron Man came out, they'd already licensed away the Incredible Hulk, the Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, and the X-Men, which are considered their level A properties.
Right.
So for all the little kids and grown-ups that love the MCU, and that we're talking about Doctor Strange and Hawkeye and Black Widow and, you know, the Guardians of the Galaxy and Ant-Man and Wasp, all these people, even Iron Man, Thor, and Captain America, these were B-level characters. These were not the stars.
Maybe even B.
Yeah. So understand that as that just shows you, number one, the depth of their canon, right?
Yeah.
But also how well they've done the movies and the television series, that they're doing this without their starting lineup. They really are.
Yeah.
They really are, which okay, they've gotten Spider-Man back, right? But, yeah. You know, we've not introduced anything to do with being a mutant. Again, let's remember, you hear that, and they do, because legalities are a thing, right? When Sony got the X-Men, Sony got the term mutants.
Yep.
But that's why you hear when Captain America talks about people, because again, to go back to a comic book thing, Wanda Maximoff and Pietro Maximoff, they're mutants. They are not.
Who's their dad?
Who's their dad?
Magneto.
Yes.
Yeah.
They are mutants, okay? But they are called enhanced because they can't use that term. Yeah. All right. So when those properties come back, and I know some of them already come back, they're probably figuring out how they're going to use. I'm sure they've got a plan.
Mm-hmm.
We've not seen Submariner. I mean, there are a lot of just the depth of things that they can do, which is just so exciting. So, all right, that was my last piece on that. But yeah, that's really exciting.
Well, is it my turn to go first for a tower?
I believe it is.
It's yours. For me, I'm going to pose a little discussion question for this tab.
Here we go.
And my question is, what would Miles Morales be like if he was a Robin instead of Spider-Man?
Meaning he's in the DCU as a Robin?
DC, same power, same everything, gets bit, everything. He's pretty much the DC Spider-Man, but he's in Gotham and ends up becoming Robin.
Okay, so how would that be different? So
Batman would be his, yeah.
Yeah. So first off, we got to start with the obvious. His parents are going to die. They tried it a bit with Tim Drake.
Yeah.
But if you're going to be Batman's ward, if you're going to be Batman's partner, you're going to be Bruce Wayne's ward. If you're going to be Bruce Wayne's ward, you got to be an orphan. So things do not hold well for Mr. and Mrs. Morales. There's some gangland shooting, or they're going to be on a bus that flips over, or they're going to eat some bad food and salmonella is going to take them out. And in this world, maybe they get COVID. I don't know. Hopefully not. But that would be thing one. Thing two would be, and I think this would be unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
The best thing about the Batman family overall is the darkness of the characters, right?
Yeah.
And the reason Batman can be dark, and I got to give Superman a little bit of positivity here, is because Superman and some of the other characters bring the brightness, right?
Yeah.
So the dark is never as dark as in the light of day, right? Mm-hmm. So you need that. So if you bring Miles Morales into the DCU, even with spider powers, but as part of the Bat family, then number one is he's going to lose his parents. Number two, you're going to take away a lot of that humor that is part of being Spider-Man, right?
Yeah.
So you're going to make him very dark. You're going to make him very broken.
Well, you can still do the quips, the Spider-Man quips, because, look, Nightwing is that way. Nightwing isn't, I mean, he's not super serious. I mean, kinda.
I think I see Nightwing's a lot darker than you do. I see a lot of darkness there with our buddy Dick.
Well, I will say Dick is more of a ladies' man than he is quippy, yeah. I guess.
Sure. And you know,
more of a flirt, I guess.
Yes. And by the way, not to take it too much of a place here, but can you imagine being in those creative meetings when they're looking at the Titans and they go, okay, we got to take Starfire and we got to make her kid friendly. And if you've ever seen the authentic Starfire from the comic books and go, we got to make this fit a Saturday morning kids show on Cartoon Network. Okay. So there's been some creativity. Oh, Brad's going into the backpack. All right. What do we got here?
So if you look at the new Teen Titans.
Yes, I have the same book, my friend.
The first page is of Starfire.
Starfire, yeah. I think that may have been when Brian was like 9 years old, where Ashley made me buy the book.
I mean, it's so bad that the first page of the comic is talking about how skimpy her bikini is.
Yes, yes. So yeah. Remember, doesn't she learn every language by making out with you? Isn't that how she learns languages? So, yes. I mean, yeah, okay. So
we've come a long way.
We have to, okay. So please forgive us. This is no excuse. Comics were unfortunately very male dominated, and we were not as a gender. Our sensitivity to going, what's number one? What's structurally sound? Number one. What's practical? Number two. And this was freaking sensitive. But again, anytime there's anything to do with the Titans, I go, can you just imagine that first meeting? Like we got to reimagine this character. Where she's kid friendly, and we literally got to start from the top,
right,
and go from there. Okay,
so
back to your tat. Loses parents, probably darker, even if he has some sense of humor. We do that, and then the last piece is I don't know if he's trying to think. Do you think he'd even be given a moniker, Robin, just given what his powers are, and they so emulate, honestly, like a spider, even if you don't call him Spider-Man, is he actually a Robin? You know what I'm saying? Like, I get to see, we talked before about Arrowhead and Speedy. Mm. Like, we got this guy who's slinging webs. let's call him Robin. But I think it'll be very cool to see from Bruce Wayne's creative side, what the costume would look like, what the utility belt, the gadgets would look like. I would love to see Miles Morales in DC. What I would hope would not happen, but I could see it happening just because. Mm-hmm. But the fact he is a Latino, I could see him being maybe, I hope they wouldn't do this, but make him gang affiliated or have his parents shot down in a drive-by where they really show some of the brokenness. So we would get so stuck on maybe some of that. We don't get to have the fun with him. I think I would love to see Miles and Damian have a fight over who gets the top bunk. I just think that would be great. But I think that would be the big differences. And I also think they could explore again, where DC, I think, does do a good job of this is they can really explore if, similar to Batman, he discovers he's Batman at the same moment that his parents are killed, if the spider bite occurs somehow where his parents are also lost to him, so he's dealing with the grief of his parents while his powers are developing, and having Batman be his mentor through that and really helping him with that. And I think on some level, while he wouldn't use that word, because I'm sure these are trademarked to the end of all trademarks, but having Batman do something like the great power comes great responsibility.
Sure.
Like just playing with some of the same concept, different wording, because trademark, But I think having Batman take on that mentoring piece of it, I think would just be very interesting to see where Miles winds up with when he has a very. I said it when I saw first time I saw Titans and even bit with Joker. Batman should not raise kids. So right. I would love to see what, as much as I love me some Batman, I would love to see kind of what we do when he's given a superpowered enhanced teenager and what happens with that. So that's where my head would go with that.
So now I was reading the other day that Damian is going to be dropping the Robin moniker, and he is actually going to be going to Bloodhaven to work with Nightwing under a new moniker.
So Tim Drake is Red Robin, correct?
Red Robin.
So
yes.
he can't go to Red Robin. Yum. So he can't go to Red Robin.
Every time Red Robin, man.
Yeah.
Red Robin.
Yeah. Come on now. I mean, I get it because in Kingdom Come, that was the ultimate name of Robin over the years. They bring that into that with Tim Drake and now going by the name Red Robin. But it's just like, really? Aren't all Robins red? But then the other piece of it is, I'd be curious what his new moniker would be.
Okay. All right, honey. Oh. All right, baby. Love you.
I love you too. Bye.
see you later, Brian.
See you later, Brian.
See you later, Leia.
All right, Daddy said Brian S.
That's right.
Well, it is.
Well, where the S stands for, you should probably go upstairs and get ready for bed. I'll be done in a few minutes. So do you know how Dick Grayson got the name Nightwing?
That was Kryptonian, right? That was when Kryptonian they went to the bottom. Yep.
Well, there's two gods that was talked about. There was Nightwing and Flamebird. Yeah. So the new moniker for Damian Wayne is going to be Flamebird working with Nightwing.
Not loving Flamebird, not gonna lie.
It's a stupid name, and the outfit looks pretty stupid as well, at least from what I was seeing. But
probably not gonna stick then.
Yep. All right. So great job in your tat. The only thing that I would think of on that is that I would actually keep his dad a cop and have him work under Gordon. And
nice,
right, and then like maybe his mom was killed and he couldn't save his mom or something like that.
His mom's also a nurse, if I believe, so they could have her at like Gotham General and see some stuff there,
right? And then I would just kind of play that way. But all right, now Brian, I am ready for the tat for me. I got my thinking cap on. Let's
well, while you were doing that, I pulled up some but the Flamebird outfit, it looks
like it's just a weird bird costume.
Yeah, there's some work to be done there. There's definitely some work to be done there, which again, give him time, maybe, you know. And I in the costume I'm seeing, he's got a cape, which I just think it's time. I always go back to the Incredibles that we're talking about capes. So like, you know what, they really are not pragmatic. So let's get rid of the capes, you know? So, okay. Yeah. All right. So as always, my tat is typically a riddle. So I got one for you. And my guess is you're going to get this one.
Okay.
But last time I said that you didn't, so I don't know, but I think this one, I have ultimate faith in you, sir. So I'm going to go through it. And I just want you to tell me like when you think you're ready. Okay. So same rules as always. Three guesses, three questions. I'll read the riddle as many times as you ask, okay?
All right,
so here we go. I've never made cookies, and I've never fought Thor, but I'm known for locating hidden doors. I'll defend to the end my trio of friends. Faithful and loyal, I will continually toil against snakes, trains, and all things strange.
All right, let's go through that again one more time.
I've never made cookies, and I've never fought Thor, but I'm known for locating hidden doors. I'll defend to the end my trio of friends, Faithful and loyal, I will continually toil. Oh, my phone went. So here we go. Against snakes, trains, and all things strange.
All right. So never made cookies. Mm-hmm. Never, and then never fought Thor.
Yep, the God of Thunder. Absolutely.
Okay.
I will give you a hint though, because I want this to mislead you. I'm using Thor as a reference, but this has nothing to do with the MCU.
Okay, well, that's gonna be one of my questions. So,
all right, so I'll save you. I'll save you a question.
All right, is this a comic book character?
Not a comic book, but a book.
Okay.
A very popular book series, to say the least.
Okay. All right. So the Hidden Door reference is the one that I keep on thinking of. And the fact that you're calling it a trio, which was really, really giving me this.
A trio of friends.
A trio of friends. Which is a popular book series.
Yeah.
Harry Potter is where I'm thinking here.
Okay.
So my second question is going to be, is this character based in Harry Potter?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So Hidden Doors.
Mm-hmm.
Trio. Thunder. Are we talking about Ronald Weasley?
No.
No.
So we'll go back to the beginning to give you another hint here. So there's a certain creature that may be known for making cookies and fighting Thor. A certain breed of species that is known for making cookies and has also fought the God of Thunder. I'll give you this. They look very different depending on which version you're looking at, but they are the same species. I probably gave it away with that.
A griffin?
No. I won't count as an actual guess because that was kind of a... Okay. We'll let that one go. But,
okay.
All right. So
fighting Thor. What creature fought Thor? The one that
Think about the movies. I really want you to get this. So think about the movies.
The first one. I mean, he fought the wolf.
So who does he fight? Who does Thor fight? We'll run through the trio.
Okay.
So who does Thor fight ultimately in the first Thor?
He fights the Destroyer.
Okay. Who does Thor fight in Thor Dark World?
He fights the Dark Elf, Malekith.
And then in the third one, who does he fight?
And the third one is the Hulk.
He fights the Hulk and his sister. So one of those three, and I'm not gonna help you too much.
Okay.
But when you were naming off the enemies that he fought in those movies, you hit on really something that should give you an idea of the type of character from Harry Potter we're discussing. So those three, which of those three? Maybe also it'll look a little different, but also is this in the world of Harry Potter? Also is known for making cookies.
Oh my gosh, you're talking the elf.
Got to get the name though. I'm not gonna. You're pretty much there. But you got to get the name, sir. You got two more guesses, so you can always throw out that you can be wrong on the name one time.
Is it?
No phone, no computer.
It's not Gimli.
No, Gimli isn't as a dwarf, not an elf.
Okay, yeah. That's right. Oh, that's right. Lord of the Rings.
Yeah. You said it's not that, so I won't count it as a guess.
Okay. I knew I should have watched Harry Potter yesterday. oh my gosh. I could picture him. I could picture him in Chamber of Secrets too.
So Chamber of Secrets, so something that might be a hidden door, huh?
Yeah.
Also, the portal that got you onto the train that he also you completely have the character. You've got to get the name.
Right. Oh my gosh. I can't. What is the little elf's name? It's the house elf. What is
the house? The house elf. And the only reason I'm not going to give it to you because there's more than one house elf in Harry Potter.
Right. Yeah. All right, I don't want to cheat. Go ahead.
Dobby the house.
Dobby, that's what it is. Yes. Dobby. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so we're gonna run through the riddle. Wow. You got it. But here we go. So I've never made cookies to Keebler elves. Yep. I've never fought Thor the Dark Elves, but I'm known for locating doors. The Chamber. So the second Harry Potter movie was the first appearance of Dobby in the films. Mm-hmm. Chamber of Secrets. He also blocks the door to get onto the platform when they're getting ready to go to Hogwarts. I'll defend to the end my trio of friends, Harry, Ron, and Hermione.
Yep.
Faithful and loyal. Dobby refers to himself as faithful and loyal several times. I will continually toil against snakes. Think about Slytherin, especially Lucius Malfoy. Trains, again, force Ron and Harry to take the car to catch up with the train. And all things strange or Bellatrix Lestrange, who again in the movies ultimately kills Dobby. So yes, so Dobby the house elf, which I thought for sure you get it because we did a little change in formatting for tonight's podcast. So I thought, of course he'll get it because that's what we're going to talk about tonight instead. So all right.
Well, I was writing down. Yep. So I'll take that as a quarter win.
Yes. Yes, you get some points there. All right.
Right.
Yeah. So I would love to say this. 10 points. Butin.
Yes. Oh, by
the
way, right.
have you ever done the quiz to see which house you'll be in?
I am a Hufflepuff.
I love that you're a Hufflepuff.
Yes.
So that puts you and Newt Scamander in the same house. Absolutely.
Have you seen the trailer for the Fantastic?
Yes. It's awesome. It looks really good. It looks really good. And I think you said you did not see the second one, or did you see the second one?
No, I seen it, yeah.
Okay. That was Chad who said he had not seen the second one. So.
Now, have you watched 1883 yet?
No, I was going to watch the other night, and as an old man, I got a little sleepy. And then after we get done recording, I'm going to watch Matrix Resurrection. So
same with me. Yep, yeah. I'm going to do that too after my wife falls asleep.
But this, because it is my but again, safe and happy holidays to everyone in our listening audience. Mm-hmm. But because I now have a few days that are free of work, I am definitely going to get 1883 watched. And I think you said the first two episodes are streaming.
Yeah, so they're amazing. They're so good.
Is Sunday going to be the release dates for them? Does that look like what it's going to be?
Yeah, I think so.
Yep. Okay, perfect. So it will be Matrix Resurrections tonight. And if I got an energy, 1883 either tonight or really early in the morning tomorrow because Brian doesn't sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll inch our ways to the holidays, the weekend, and all the great things for 2022. So absolutely.
Nice. And if you want to shoot me a message after you, tomorrow or something, maybe we can hop on and do a quick pandemic about Matrix Revolutions as well.
We can definitely do that.
All right. So,
all right, my friend.
All right. So now if you find value in the content that we're producing, please consider supporting the show. Maybe you will be the next guest host on the Fandemic. How can you support the show, you ask? Well, let me tell you. Patreon.com/Fandemic. Make sure you put in PVOTN in the messages. I have three tiers of awesomeness you can check out. Also, straight on Anchor, you can subscribe and you can promote the show. If you don't want to help monetarily, please do me a favor. Do us a favor. Share the episode. Tell your friends, hey, we got a couple of nerdy guys that want to bring us into the family. So, Brian, anything to add?
As always, this has been extremely fun. Again, Whether you want to join us on Patreon, enjoy the show. We do this because we love it. Hopefully you love it too. We love Leveling Up Our Awesome with you. We had a ball during our pandemic at the movies. So this is going to be an ongoing thing. So that can be a thing. Again, if you are listening to this, we are working on our pandemic at the movies calendar, taking us into 2022. If they're in things that are going to get our attention, obviously, are going to be the Marvels, the DCs, the Harry Potter verse, those kinds of things. But there's a great nerdy sci-fi mystery. We're really open. There's a movie that you go, you guys should check this out because there's something in it that we would love to hear your opinion on it. Shoot it to us on the page. We always, you know, Brad and I actually do like to be around each other in person as well. There's never a bad time to take a trip to the movies. So we would love to get, and again, as you as an audience, if you go, hey, want to hear you guys play with this movie and tell us what you think about it, we would love to hear from you. So as always, help us help you level up your awesome.
All right. Thanks for catching up. You're welcome for leveling up your awesomeness. Live free or die empty. Have a great night.